This morning, our reading out of the epistles and the reading for the sermon comes out of the book of Hebrews in chapter 10, starting at verse 19, going through verse 39 of that chapter. And I share at the beginning of worship that this is kind of the close to our series of our faith and technology, how we live the gospel, how we interact with our faith, with our modern day tools. And as we read this here, there's this passage of scripture, Hebrews is full of a lot of things. And I'm intentional in saying it like that because Hebrews covers so much history. It covers so much tradition. There's a lot in this text. And that's something to keep in mind when you read this book, especially in this passage, because it seems like there's a lot going on. And there is a lot going on in this passage. But I invite you to hear these words starting there at verse 19 of chapter 10. Therefore, my friends, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way he opened for us through this curtain that is through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. For if we willfully persist in sin after having received the knowledge of truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful prospect of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. Anyone who has violated the law of Moses dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by those who have spurned the Son of God, profaned the blood of the covenant by which they were sanctified, and outraged the Spirit of grace? For we know the one who said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay." And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But recall those earlier days when, after you have been enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to abuse and persecution, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you had compassion for those who were in prison, and you cheerfully accepted the plundering of your possessions, knowing that you yourselves possess something better and more lasting. Do not therefore abandon that confidence of yours. It brings a great reward. For you need endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. For yet in a very little while the one who is coming will come and will not delay, but my righteous one will live by faith. My soul takes no pleasure in anyone who shrinks back. But we are not among those who shrink back and so are lost, but among those who have faith and so are saved. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. So as we've gone through this series, we've spent a lot of time talking about our interaction, our stewardship, you know, with technology, with tools that we use in everyday lives, and with the media that we have available to us. But a part of all of this revolves and is grounded in how we connect with our God, connected with our faith, but also with how we connect with one another. Part of the difficulty in our day and age here in 2020, with all the ways in which we can connect with one another, all the ways in which we can share our lives, all the ways in which we can experience so many different ideas, is that sometimes we neglect the things, and especially the people who are close to us. We run a danger of looking at things superficially, of just being on the surface. Maybe we'll use social media to check in with someone, but not go deeper in that connection or in that relationship. This is some of the difficulty with our technology today, but as we think, though, back, you know, there have been times when technology has maybe perhaps been a challenge for our faith, a challenge for, you know, living out our faith, but yet there's been a way forward. And there is today, there is a way forward for us as we ground ourselves in our relationships, in our connection with each other. When I think about this text here out of the book of Hebrews, it's given in a time that was filled with anxiety, with uncertainty. The book of Hebrews would have been written down probably in the latter part of the first century after the birth of Christ into the second century. And that was a time period where people who are Christian were persecuted because their faith, being Christian, was seen as odd. It was seen as weird. In the Roman Empire, you know, things that were old were considered valuable. There was something special about that. It's kind of why Judaism in the Roman Empire had a free pass to folks who were Jewish could practice their faith. Because the Romans saw that the Jewish faith predated, you know, the empire predated their faith. And so there must be something to it, something significant. But those who are Christian, even though they were seen as, you know, a part of that Jewish faith, or kind of an offshoot of it, they were a little odd and a little strange. And some of the things that they would say, you know, of God, you know, being the center of our lives and the gospel and all those things, often brought those who were Christian at odds with their Roman neighbors, with Roman authorities, and would bring some of that persecution their way. And that's why the tone of Hebrews can have this urgency, this calling, you know, of doing the right thing, of being grounded, of living as God calls us to live, because there was this urgency of persecution. And there's also this other urgency of the return of Christ. They had an imminent, you know, sense, an imminent feeling that Christ would be coming back at any moment. And so that impacted, you know, the writing, impacted the understanding of their faith. And for us, when we look back at, you know, from 2020 towards the first century, you know, some of that urgency may seem, you know, perhaps misplaced, but I actually see that urgency as a call for us to assess, to determine what is important, to examine, and for us to consider, you know, those important things of our faith, important things in our lives, and especially our relationships, our family members, our friends, our church family, and assess and examine how those are valuable, how those matter. So that urgency does mean something for us today. It means something as we live faithfully today. A couple of years ago, there was a book written. It was called Bowling Alone, and some of you may be familiar with it. It was written right at the turn, you know, from the 90s into the 2000s, and it was taking a look at this phenomenon that was happening. It was of bowling. People were not bowling in leagues or on teams like they used to, but there were more games being bowled than ever before. And so it's considering, you know, that phenomenon, what was happening there. And I'll admit, I'm not much of a bowler. I'm not very good at it. I know just enough that if my golf score, my bowling score switched, I'd be awesome with that. And but bowling, though, if I, you know, when I've gone bowling, it's a social experience. You'll have the lane there, and you toss, you know, that heavy ball down the lane towards the pins, and hopefully, you know, you'll hit something along the way, the right something along the way, I should put it that way. I've seen balls go, you know, that way before. As you're doing that, you know, you're engaged in the game. But your teammates, the people you're with, are all sitting back behind you, you know, a lot of times talking, being social, catching up, perhaps maybe having a snack. I mean, it's a social thing to go bowling. And that's why this researcher, this sociologist, was so struck. There was a decrease in teams and leagues, but an increase in games. Now, you could look at that and go, well, perhaps people were bowling alone. And in fact, they were. There were more people coming to the bowling alley playing games, but not playing with anyone else, just by themselves. And that little nugget started a whole set of research and looking into how people are connected, how people are connecting or not connecting. And so a lot of the trends that we might see today where there's less engagement, you know, in the public sphere, you know, being a church attendance, being engagement in civic organizations, we might attribute that to a more recent thing, you know, with the rise of technology. But really, this trend had started in the 80s and in the 90s. The technology that the smartphone and social media may have accelerated it, but that trend was already going. And so we can see that there is this trend, you know, in our communities, in our lives, and we could probably see it as well where people are alone. They've isolated themselves. They're not engaging. And certainly there's a whole host of reasons for why there is that isolation, that low engagement. But when I hear that, I can consider that, you know, from our faith perspective, where we are a community of faith, our faith, you know, has ancient roots as a community. I mean, the people wandered the wilderness, you know, as a community. They gathered at the tabernacle as a community. So we see that in the Old Testament. And in early Christian tradition, you know, in history, folks would gather for worship together. I mean, the beginning of Acts in chapter 2, you know, gives directions on how you're to live as a Christian community. Our faith is one that's not practiced in isolation, but practiced together. And that's an inherent part, a trait of our faith tradition. And so when we hear these things of isolation, of people being alone, I believe as a people of faith, we should take that seriously. Not only as a church community, but also as people who are part of families, people who have friends, who have relationships. That those things matter. That our faith, which has this social trait to it, you know, gives, you know, a value, a hope, a direction for our relationships, that those things matter. And if you couple that with our technology, all that we have, that ability to connect and receive and understand information and relationships and all those things, we can see that there might be a bit of a paradox in this. We have all these ways to connect with each other, but yet we find ourselves still lonely and isolated. But I believe as a people of faith, we can witness the value of community, the value of relationships, the value of being connected. Now, certainly in certain phases of our life, there's challenges to being connected. There's, you know, certain parts of career or home life that can affect that. But I believe when we look here at this text, this, the last verses 24 and 25, last part of this one paragraph, I believe gives us some direction that when we are struggling with being connected to one another. And it says here, "And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." The writer here has some of that urgency, you know, placed in there, the day of judgment, the return of Christ, you know, in this, but this value on connecting, of not neglecting to be together, is important for us as we grow in faith because it allows us to be accountable, allows us to share in our burdens when we are struggling. And it allows us also to share in those times when things are going well, in those moments of rejoicing. There's value in connecting as a community. There's a value in placing, you know, importance on relationships and not being distracted by all that happens around us. I mean, there are plenty of things that can pull us away from community, from the people we care about. And our faith reminds us that those things matter. Spending time with family matters. Spending time in community matters. And I certainly know firsthand the value of our technology, of the ways that we can communicate, especially where, you know, my wife and I, our families live at a far distance, you know, from us, and especially Christina, you know, being, you know, 2 days away driving in Washington State. So we know the value of social media. We love seeing pictures of our nieces and nephews. We love hearing of when new nieces and nephews are born. And so we know that excitement. We know that value that is there. But my faith, when I read scripture, reminds me that when we have that time together, when we're able to be connected, those relationships do matter. Those moments matter. And so while I could be distracted, I could be pulled away, I believe, because of my faith, calls me to not neglect those connections. We can look also, certainly in the Gospels and see so many moments when, Christ called people, together, when he would meet with people, being at the feeding of the 5,000 or meeting in homes. They could see that value of connection, of being in relationship. So I see for us as a testament, as a witness to our faith, is to place value on relationships, to place value on connection. Not because we want to be social or that it's fun. I mean, those things are great and wonderful also there, but rather our faith calls us to care for one another. It's an expression of the grace we have received through Christ, and it's a way of sharing that love of God. And while at times it may be difficult, there may be challenges to it, placing value is important. So brothers and sisters, as we go forward, with all the distractions that we have before us, all the tools of way of connecting, all the technology that is present, there is value on our relationships, on our connections. There is value placed on taking time to be together as a church, as a family, as friends. It is where we can witness to our faith, where we can share the love of God, and also let others know that not only do we care, but our God cares, that Christ cares, and the Holy Spirit is with us. So let us be a people that share the love of God, that share the love of Christ, and the movement of the Holy Spirit in our relationships, now and forevermore. Amen.